ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, which is the liberation from the illusory energy. Text 22. Tatra Bhagavatam Dharmam Shikshed Guruvatma Daivataha Amaya Nuvrichayais Tushyet Atma Dohari Tatra Bhagavatam Dharmam Shikshed Guruvatma Daivataha Amaya nuvrijayais Tushyet atma dohari Translation. Tatra, there in the association of the spiritual master. Bhagavatam Dharman, the science of devotional service. Shikshet, should learn. Guratma Daivata, For he whom the spiritual master is his very life and worshipful deity. Amayaya, without deceit. Anuritya, by faithful service. Yai, by which devotional sense. Tushet, can be satisfied. Atma, the supreme soul. Atmadha, who bestows his own self. Hari, Lord, Hari. Translation. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of devotional, pure devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity, and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the Lord's tendency to give himself to his pure devotee is demonstrated in the case of Bali Maharaj, who sacrificed his universal kingdom, the pleasure of Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamana was so pleased by the selfless surrender of Bali Maharaj that the Lord became the doorman in the palace of Bali, who was reinstalled as a great leader in the universe. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that the spiritual master is to be considered the Atma, or the very life of the disciple, since real life begins when one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Although one may experience many seemingly wonderful or important events in a dream, one's real life begins when he wakes up. Similarly, since the spiritual master gives birth to the disciple by awakening him to spiritual life, a bona fide disciple understands that his spiritual master is the very basis of his life. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a reservoir of all pleasure, and thus the Lord's giving himself to a pure devotee indicates that such a devotee becomes immersed in the highest possible ecstasy. In this connection, there is the following Shruti mantra, Ananda Dimani Bhutani Jayante. Indeed, it is from the all blissful supreme that all these creatures have come into being. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has further pointed out that when the Lord bestows his own self upon a pure devotee, such a fortunate devotee can actually see the Lord, touch him, and directly engage in his service. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one should never consider one's spiritual master to be mundane or on an equal level with oneself. One should see the spiritual master as being always under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One should never try to engage the spiritual master in one's personal service with the mentality of lording it over the spiritual master and attaining through him some material gain. One who is actually advancing will become more and more eager to serve the spiritual master, and thus such a disciple experiences the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Rupa Goswami has delineated four preliminary requisites for advancement for this sincere disciple. Guru Padashrayas Tasmad Krishna Dikshadi Shikshama Vishrambena Guru Seva Sadhuvartma Vartanam. One, accepting the shelter of the Lord, lotus feet of this bona fide spiritual master. Two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. And four, following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. Dr. Rasamita Sindhu, 1274. One who has executed these preliminary duties is qualified to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. When one actually hears the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, he becomes free from the desire for sense gratification and mental speculation, and is happy and satisfied in the service of Lord Krishna. Yasyam bhai shriyamanayam krishne paramapurushe bhakti upadyate kuncha shokamoha bhayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearlessness. Bhagavatam 177. One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide spiritual master who can expertly engage the propensity for loving Krishna that arises from hearing the transcendental sound of the Bhagavatam. Such a transcendental authorized engagement is called Bhagavad Dharma. Within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, there are many thousands of authorized engagements pertaining to the Society's missionary activities. And by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and performing such engagements, the Society's members feel relief from shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and bhaya, fear. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who have achieved the mature understanding of the transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam may adopt the order of Tridandi Sannyas, as described in the Hamsa Gita, 13th chapter of this canto. A so-called Vaishnava who whimsically neglects the strict control of the body, mind, and speech cannot actually achieve shelter at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Even if such a whimsical sense enjoyer makes a show of assuming the dress and danda of Vaishnava Sannyas, he will not attain the desired result, love of Krishna. A bona fide Vaishnava should work earnestly to free himself from any tinge of sense gratification and mental speculation, and with a loving heart, he should carry out the orders of his bona fide spiritual master. By always remembering the exalted position of the bona fide spiritual master, the disciple will achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Such nice verses here. These are all explaining the role of the spiritual master and of the disciple, and the importance of accepting a bona fide spiritual master. These are all in answering the question of how do I get out of here? And so this is the key that will open that door, and that is to accept the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. One has to really develop that in his heart. He has to really plant that seed and water it and see that it becomes his life and soul. And then from there we get the flower of love of Godhead to the point of actually seeing and touching Krishna, it says here. So this is a very important key. You don't want to lose it. You should make a few copies. Keep them around. And if possible, give some copies to other people also. A couple weeks ago, we asked Nanda's sister to come here. She's an expert, a guru on basket weaving. And so we thought, oh, let's have fun and learn how to make some baskets. Maybe we can make them for Krishna someday. So we invited her to come, and now I look at a basket very differently now because it's a whole art in itself. But I would never have been able to make that basket unless I had a teacher. She actually, from the very first thing, she said, this is the right side and this is the wrong side of the thing. I thought, well, it looks the same to me. So from the very beginning, you could see that step by step, you need that teacher to tell you all the intricacies, to save time, save money, do it properly, to learn all the shortcuts and things like that. In the reverse, right now I'm on top of a building that I'm trying to build, and I'm at a point where I don't have a clue on how to make a hip roof. So I'm sitting there scratching my head, wasting a lot of time, wasting a lot of wood, a lot of money, trying to figure out how to make this one little teeny corner thing. If I had someone to teach me, they could do it probably 2 minutes, right? So therefore, in the material world, to learn anything or to get some knowledge, we need some kind of a teacher. We have to face it. We don't know everything. We come out of the womb, especially how to make a hip roof. But so more so spiritually, how essential it is that we have someone to teach us from the very, very beginning. What is the start? What is the right side? Where am I even going? What is my goal? So very, very essential. If you remember back 40, 50 years, most of us in this room can remember back almost that far, that at some point there was an era where to get a guru was a fashionable thing. And this was because the people then wanted to get liberation from the illusory energy of being blind and being led by other blind people into the material world and doing things that you really didn't want to do and you didn't really believe in. and so therefore generated this hip generation. But they didn't have a teacher. They didn't really have a spiritual master. And for so many years, what did they do? They entangled themselves more. They increased their sex life because they were free to do anything. They increased their intoxication. They increased their whole life a harder and harder knot in the material world because they didn't have anyone to direct them. And then they decided, oh, maybe we should seek some knowledge from the Eastern philosophies. And therefore, that started this surge for spiritual knowledge. But they really didn't make any advancement until Srila Prabhupada came and taught the importance and demonstrated the importance of a guru-disciple relationship. It made the whole difference in the world. There were other gurus, there were other things, and wishy-washy, this is and that. But until Prabhupada came and established what it means to accept a guru, they had no real help. It was only by this act of mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we really understood what a spiritual master was. But in the beginning, we really didn't understand what it meant to accept a guru. We can reflect back in past times when the disciples said, well, are there any rules and regulations? And Prabhupada said, well, finally, you asked something. Yes, and the next day, on the wall came the little notes about, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. And all of a sudden, whoa, okay. And we were already snagged in and said, okay. And then it became the first initiation and guaranteed that the first disciples had no idea what they were getting themselves into. The heaviness of guru, guru means heavy, what it means to accept the spiritual master as your life and soul, to take that vow, as yesterday was described, the commitment, the C word. That commitment is such a heavy word in itself. The saying equal with a guru, commitment and guru. Very heavy. So, but this began a change, a revolutionary change of consciousness for all of us and for the world, really, to understand what this meant to become a disciple. In the Vedic culture, though, it had been going on for a long time. We hear about at 5 years old, the parents would leave them to the guru, at least the Brahmins would be left to the guru and pick them up in 20 years. And they were all trained up, right? This was a normal thing. Respect, touching the parents' feet in the morning, becoming a little submissive. This word submissive, not there in the Western vocabulary at this time. Maybe we could consider it slavery, but for, in the East, this was submissiveness, this was surrender, and this was a means of becoming disciplined. And from there, accepting, becoming very faithful to your guru and to Krishna, the beginning of spiritual life. So Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita that one must take a spiritual master. And so sometimes you ask people, what is it that you don't understand about this word must? What is there? Must means that you must. There's no other way around it. So if we want to make advancement, then this is what Krishna says we have to do. But our Western mentality has a hard time with that. And so it might take some of us a little longer than others to surrender to that point. Many times on some of the letters that I get at Krishna.com, they ask, okay, so how do I find a spiritual master? How do I get one? Or where do I look? Or am I ready? Or things like that. But luckily we have this nice course now all about guru-disciple relationships and finding a spiritual master. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this that it's actually according to one's fortune that one will get a spiritual master. And that because we have such different mentalities, every one of us, that Krishna will give you a spiritual master, an appropriate one according to your mentality. So this connection is very, very important, and it's described here. It's like a second birth, your material birth and your spiritual birth. And there's quite a difference in the fathers. I know that when I called up my parents and said, I found it, this is everything, this is it, and they said, come home. And so after about 3 months of strict training and everything, I came home with sorry book under my arm, and it was like, whoa, where are you coming from? They didn't even recognize me. It was a complete change. That second birth completely changed the direction we were going. Now we were going out of the material world, right? And we looked a little different. We had a different consciousness, everything was different about us. We had a different father. And many of our parents could not swallow that. They had such resentment for Srila Prabhupada because he completely gave us a whole nother birth, a whole nother life, a very significant, most significant change in the direction we were going. So how important it is can't be said enough. There's a nice meditation and a song. It's called Shri Guru Charanakamala. And it describes on the meditation of a disciple, of the guru. It's describing what the mind should be doing. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Without receiving the mercy of the pure devotee, one will not have the potency to execute regular spiritual practices. Therefore, O my dear mind, I urge you to worship him. Please worship him at every moment. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. While this fallen soul wanders throughout the 14 worlds, it rarely gets an opportunity to receive a human birth, a whole. And out of so many human beings, only a few receive the great fortune of meeting the devotees of Lord Hari. So how fortunate we have that we've been sent the pure devotee, the spiritual master, to give us this knowledge. And therefore, it's described three times a day, at least three times a day, minimum. We should bow our heads and remember that our spiritual master. And while our head's down there, then we'll, in that mood of surrender, we will get the blessings of the spiritual master. But if our heads are always thinking, oh, maybe there's something a little above my spiritual master's head, on the other side, something he hasn't given me, something better, then great misfortune and offenses to the spiritual master. And this verse also is describing that one should never think of one, the spiritual master as mundane or equal to oneself. What less to think that you are greater or can get more knowledge than the spiritual master can give. So this is something that we should understand. And understand that we have signed a pact, a vow now, as initiated devotees, to be indebted to our spiritual master and somehow in this lifetime figure out how we can start paying back that fortune, that jewel that we've gotten, this devotional service. But so many people say that, this initiation, this vow, taking this vow, this commitment, is just too heavy. I just can't take it. A whole lifetime of not doing this and not doing that. I don't, the mental block. But here in this little song that we said, you get the potency to execute the regular principles if you accept the spiritual master. So it has to be there. So it has to be done together. You'll get the potency to do it. Just have faith. That's what it describes. You have to have faith that if I do take that vow, I will get the strength. And this is the only way I am going to get the strength. So there's really no excuse. But if you can't, if you think it's too heavy, then, as we read early this morning, there are other spiritual masters. There are lighter weight spiritual masters. There are many cheaters, as it's described this morning. Pay $50, get your secret mantra. Or there were many of them had a program where you could get your finances would become out better. Your business would go better if you just chanted these mantras. There was all kinds of opportunities to take lighter weight spiritual masters. But what do you get? You get more independence. Is that what we want? No. The soul wants dependency on Krishna. This is our real position. So by taking the vows of the real spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master, one becomes the servant of the servant, becomes more dependent. And that's how one becomes advanced. Right now there's this bhakti cult going on all over. They're throwing around this culture of bhakti, which, you know, has in Kirtan, which is a wonderful thing. But where are their gurus? Where are their commitments? Where are their spiritual directions and guidance? Just because someone can sing a nice kirtan and play a harmonium, this is their guru? No. So we have to understand that this bhakti is the real work of the spiritual master to show that bhakti means pure devotion to Krishna, that there's no more material desires. They're gone. So that spiritual master has a big responsibility that I'm going to help this person get rid of all his material desires. A very big, big responsibility. But the spiritual master is the proprietor of Krishna, as described. But he actually owns Krishna, and he can give Krishna to the qualified soul. So the spiritual master is very busy. He's trying to prepare that surrendered disciple so that Krishna will accept him, and so that he can meet Krishna. We can't meet Krishna in our state that we are now with material desires. So that position, not everyone's qualified to become a spiritual master. It's not an easy position, and it's not like there's a long list of people waiting to put in their applications to take that responsibility. How difficult it would be to make decisions for other people in their spiritual lives. I mean, I wake up, I can't even decide which color sari to wear in the morning. What I'm going to tell somebody else to do in their spiritual life. So it's not like there's that many people that want to take that burden upon themselves. But we thank those people that have agreed to help their spiritual master in giving the fortune to others. And it's not easy to be a good disciple either, to be that faithful and to have that feeling in your heart that this person is my life and soul, whatever he tells me, I'm going to do. So we have a lack of training in the West to become good disciples. Our parents, our karmi parents and the so-called society leaders definitely didn't help in having us trained in the proper way. So in our society now, we should see the importance of the parents and the leaders to get this point across of becoming a bona fide disciple. And what is a spiritual master? He has made it clear to us it means to be a good disciple, and that is to know what his mission is, to understand what we can do to help him in his mission. This is a really nice understanding. There's a first and a second and a third class of a disciple, right? We've heard of that. One who actually understands even ahead of time what my spiritual master wants, and he will do those things. And then there's the last one who not so surrendered. And then there's a middle one who, yes, you want this, I will carry it out no matter what. So there's a story, it's actually an Ethiopian folk tale of some sort, but somehow or other I've heard it a couple times in classes, especially in the early days. And it's about a third class or lower servant, the mentality we should not have. And so there was a king and his servant, and they were on horseback going someplace. And the king gets to one point and stops and looks and sees that something is missing off the back of his horse. And the servant says, oh, yes, it fell off way back there, you know. And he goes, well, why didn't you tell me and pick it up? It's important matters in there. And he says, well, you didn't tell me to. I would have you told me to. And so then they get back on. So, you know, okay. Whatever falls off, you pick it up. So they get back on. Of course, and they're going on and on and on. And he's looking back and the servant says, oh my gosh, the horse is passing the stool, and he stops and he picks up the stool and he gathers it up and it stops and he, guru, guru, stupid, that's right, you know. Stupid servant, no, here, I'll make a list. He makes a list of all the different things. The sword, the prasadam, my cloth, my everything. Whatever, all these things, if they fall off, you pick them up. Got it? So, riding along, and they're riding and riding, and the king is kind of spacing out, and all of a sudden a tree comes, and ooh, ooh, and he falls off the horse. And the servant keeps going, and looks on his list, and I don't see it. Ooh, no, I don't see that. And he keeps going, and finally the king gets up to him and says, you saw me on the ground, why didn't you pick me up? Well, it's not on the list, Prabhu. And so this is not the proper mentality of the disciple. No, we should be very anxious to follow out everything that our spiritual master wants, especially in regards to his mission, which he is helping his spiritual master. And it goes on and on. So it's very clear what Prabhupada wants of us. He wants us to become Krishna conscious. And he wants us to chant properly because that will make us Krishna conscious. And he wants us to help him in his mission, which is Lord Chaitanya's mission. So this is very clear, and it should be the heart and soul of every single one of us. And we should be ready to commit our life for these things. Why not? And it's also a very interesting discussion how that the combination of the guru and the Bhagavatam, of hearing the Bhagavatam. We can read the Bhagavatam and we can get so excited about devotional service. I mean, how can you not get excited about devotional service by reading the Bhagavatam? Especially the bona fide Bhagavatam, written by the pure devotee. So inspiring to hear of all the intricacies of devotional service and how we can enter into that that position again of pleasing Krishna and having that relationship develop again with Krishna. We can actually experience that bliss and that pleasure that we're looking for. But it's interesting that it says that you need the spiritual master not only to inspire you by reading and understanding the spirit of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but also to be engaged properly in devotional service. Without that, what does it mean to serve the spiritual master, to serve Krishna? What does it mean to serve Krishna? Could mean many different things. Many, many different things. We could concoct many different things of what Krishna might like. Or we might be totally bewildered. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to serve God? But it's only by the grace of the bona fide, the authorized spiritual master that we can now do what the Bhagavatam is saying, engage in devotional service. How many of us would have ever thought of deity worship? Never. How many of us would have thought of book distribution or this or that? Never would have, you know, been and had no clue what it meant to serve God. So how important it is even to know what to do on a daily basis to please the Supreme Lord. So Krishna has Prabhupada has given us this plan, which has been passed down through the previous acharyas, of a complete protection plan of guru, sadhu, and shastra. All those things are our protection for us to make advancement. So we have to have all of them. As it's described here, it's describing the four different things that are important. Spiritual master, knowing what he wants, following his mission, following his instructions, all these things make a pact that will guarantee us some advancement in this life. It you'll make something out of nothing. Basically, we're nothing without this pact. So we have to understand Prabhupada's compassion on us to provide all these things, to provide the bona fide everything, the bona fide activities, the bona fide books, the bona fide teachings and instructions. And therefore we have to be very thankful to Srila Prabhupada. And that should become our indebtedness of how we can thank Srila Prabhupada. And this year there's so many different ways we can increase opportunity to pay back that debt. Because Prabhupada is taken on a responsibility of fixing us up, preparing us, making us presentable. Here, okay, the spiritual master says, okay, here, Krishna, here's my disciple. I think he's ready. Right? And so it's a lot of preparation, a lot of work, the spiritual master. Just think of all that Srila Prabhupada did and tolerated from us and had to fix and correct us. Not an easy job. So the standard is very high. Just like maybe your parents helped you when you went out to get your first job, right? And you were just going to throw on some clothes and go out there, but they said, no, you should wear this, you should look like this, and you should talk like this, and that standard will help you get the job. Just I know, like, Lakshmimoni went to get some kind of help at the bank or something, and she was sitting there, she noticed that the man's fingernails were dirty. And she says, I can't listen to this guy. She never went back again. And so, you know, that was her thing. Maybe it was a gardener, I don't know, but anyway. So it does make a difference, you know, the preparation. And so Prabhupada has got the program for us to be the best prepared disciples if we take his words, take his instructions very seriously. And then he can give us unlimited ecstasy in our lives and success. There's so much mercy awaiting us if we get in that position and understand that my life work now is to satisfy Srila Prabhupada. So anyone have any comments or additions? Yes.
That first class devotees, Atma in Sanskrit, that I know the when I know the intention that Guru has come to deliver me, I am trying to be one with that intention and I execute the devotional service even without his telling me, because I already have that internalizing connection with him. But then you said about the third class, and you demonstrated that example of guru and disciple riding a horse ride. But in the middle, second class, second class, that guru tells the disciple what to do and he execute on that. But then I find myself could be the third class or maybe worse, but at least that metaphor, what I understand from that metaphor, that the intelligence was not applied or the disciple was not engaging his intelligence while he was serving, even though instruction was coming from Guru, that here I'm making the list, what is in the card, if it drops, pick it up, or if it is not, don't pick it up. So he didn't apply the intelligence, that's what I understand. What is that metaphor practically applicable in my daily life or our daily life?
We shouldn't be foolish, that we can be creative. Just like in the basket thing, we all did different baskets and everyone had a different flair to theirs. And she encouraged us to be creative, but we didn't not do what she, you know, if she said don't do this, we didn't not do it, you know. So, yeah, in our daily lives, we should be thinking, like, what can I do today to help please my spiritual master? I want to follow his instructions, but I don't want to be foolish. If you know, Prabhupada didn't tell me to pick up the garbage in the in the middle of the walkway here, or move the chair so it's properly. I'm not going to be think that, oh, I don't have to do that. So we should be thinking of our, if we just think of our spiritual master's instructions, then we're intelligent. If we don't, then we're foolish. So every day we should be thinking, who wants to come in?
I want to understand that. So you're saying that I should be always thinking, what can I do to please him?
Yeah.
Then that intention will accommodate correcting automatically that if there is something lacking or ignoring.
That seems to be the key, especially from this purport.
Okay.
The life and soul is there, and then.
Okay, that's very nice. Thank you.
Clear the goal. Damaraj.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes also we want to, you know, have good intentions in pleasing the spiritual master, so therefore we want to do things in a Krishna conscious way. But sometimes we can miss some points too in doing that. You know, like we want to make the spiritual master happy by engaging in spiritual activities. So sometimes we may have a desire to engage in spiritual activities, and that may not be the desire of the spiritual master in that aspect.
There are some examples
in
our movement when Prabhupada nipped some things because he could see through it that it was not really going to be beneficial.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We can ask our God brothers and God sisters, do you think this is going to be good?
Yeah, we had one example of that was some years ago, I had a conversation with the disciple of Gaudiya Maharaj. So actually that was just 2 or 3 months before he left his body. And he said one day he went and he asked his Guru Maharaj for his blessings to go from Bhubaneswar to go and live in Vrindavan, southern Vrindavan. So his Guru Maharaj said yes. So as he was walking out, he figured something wasn't right. So he came back and he asked his Guru Maharaj, he said, Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do?
Mm.
And he said, I want you to stay here.
Nice.
So then he said, you know, that was like an eye-opening something that was his desire. He wants to go to Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
but his Guru Maharaj's desire was different. So sometimes we have to, you know, try to see a little more, be a little more introspective.
Very nice. That's why it's nice to have a living Guru. Sukhita. Coming.
You know, back in the day, it was pretty easy because there was Prabhupada and we all got initiated by Prabhupada. But today, I don't know how many spiritual masters, there's quite a few. So on one hand, you must get a spiritual master, but on the other hand, you should take your time to really, right, get to know. And how does that happen? Seems like that's a very important part of the process of maybe reading your books. And you mentioned Guru Shastra Sadhu a few times, so I was to make sure that that personality is really lined up with what Srila Prabhupada has done and what he said. So just, you know, both things are there. You must, but you can take your time to really choose the person that...
Most important thing in your life, pretty much.
Pardon?
It's a very important thing in your life to accept that. So, yeah, take your time. There are some initiating gurus that have said that I don't think I'm your spiritual master. So.
Excuse me. One time someone said in a class that they were speaking about yoga, the yoga process, and yoga is so popular these days. I thought it was a neat mantra. He said, the essence of yoga is bhakti, and the essence of bhakti is kirtan. So in the context of your presentation today, what would you say would be the essence of bhakti?
Bhakti means devotion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot behind that word, bhakti. That's why we need a spiritual master.
My question is, he and Alatra, I hear oftentimes arguments that that Srila Prabhupada is enough, that we don't need, that he's the spiritual master, and you know, he's given all the instructions, and we don't really need to approach anybody else. So I personally, you know, even though I know that, you know, in the Shastra it says that, you know, one has to accept initiation or accept the spiritual master that's physically present, sometimes I wonder, because like Mother Sukada said, you know, you have to take time to get to know the person. And then we see that the way it works many times is that devotees do end up taking instructions from local devotees and senior devotees because the spiritual master is not always available to guide personally. And then these devotees, that senior devotees that guide us, they oftentimes are not, you know, they're not like authorized by GBC to give initiation, or they're not initiating spiritual masters. So many times this argument comes that, like, what is the need of accepting initiation when, you know, after all, we are all just following Prabhupada's instructions. And, you know, so can you comment on that?
Well, you can reread this, these last few verses in the Bhagavatam to express that we do need a spiritual master. And the advantages of having a living spiritual master go over the top. Of course, we have Srila Prabhupada's instructions. That's very nice. But we need the living spiritual master. I mean, that's a whole other topic of discussion could go on further. But Prabhupada says it, Krishna says it. So we should accept it. And as the Sukhita said, no hurry.
You would say that, like, the shiksha is not enough, like, you know, if you take instructions from the senior Vaishnava.
Formal initiation is a must. Mm-hmm. Although your shiksha guru might be more of your guru, but formal initiation, or it might be the same, or different, doesn't matter, but formal initiation is necessary. It initiates you. But if the shiksha guru is more important to you, then that's fine.
with your class, I was actually appreciating devotees who have taken the responsibility of accepting disciples in a formal way. I was just in Ukraine with my husband, and I was wanted to share this. There was this family, and they were telling us that, you know, they've been chanting for 15 years or so. So I said, oh, so you, because normally devotees have to wait there for a long time before they get initiated. So I said, oh, you haven't gotten initiated yet? Then he told the devotee, he told us that at a certain time, after a few years he was chanting, he prayed like anything to please guide who would be his spiritual master. He was really praying really hard. So he had a dream. And in the dream, somebody came who was going to be his spiritual master. So he had never seen this person. So he kind of like went through some pictures or something that to know who this person is. But there was nobody there. I mean, that face wasn't there. Then after a few years, he went to a festival. And there he was surprised when he walked in the room, this person was giving the class. And that was the person that he had in the dream. So he said, oh my God, this is the person. So then he found out that this particular devotee, Maharaj, would not take disciples from that area because he has so much responsibilities already in other areas, and if he kind of went in that area of the world, you know, it's just going to be crazy, and he just couldn't do so, you know, and so he just doesn't go there, and he will not take. So all these years, the poor devotee hasn't, his desire is that he wants to take initiation from this person, and I said, did you ever approach? He said, no, you know, but I guess that's the story came to my mind, that appreciating how some of these devotees have taken this responsibility and what kind of responsibility they take on their shoulders is so immense, and so much is needed, and there's so much pressure, you know, on these spiritual masters. So I wanted to share that and appreciating that their service.
Kira Baba Ki Jai.